Happy Friday, Med Circle, and happy end of World Mental Health Month. You have a few more days if you're watching this on October 28th. And if you're watching this before October 31st, there is still time to claim free workshops from Med Circle directly to your inbox. No obligation. All we need is your email so we know where to send the workshop to. You can access our free workshops using the links in the description of this video or on medcircle.com. So far this World Mental Health Month, we've given away our workshop on healing your inner child, our workshop on emotional intelligence, our workshop on burnout. And today I'm talking to you about our workshop on sleep and anxiety. I think sleep is maybe the most important component of mental health. That's just my personal opinion. Tell me if you agree or disagree in the comment section below or in the live chat. I know for me, my life is dictated by sleep. If I'm having a good day, it's probably because I got enough sleep. Am I having not a great day? Probably didn't get enough sleep. Is my mood poor? It's because I didn't get enough sleep. Sleep really is the number one indicator for my overall well-being. I also live with Crohn's disease, and there is a direct correlation with the amount of sleep I get and the severity of my Crohn's symptoms. When I am having issues with Crohn's, the best thing I can do is sleep. It is like the body curing itself, healing itself. And we all know this. You're not sitting there listening to me going, "Wow, oh my gosh, sleep is important. I should listen to that guy on Med Circle. How smart." You already know it's important. But why do we know it's so important, yet very few people, if you talk to them, would say, "Oh, I have my sleep down. I'm good with sleep. Sleep, I've gotten the hang of." Most of us struggle in some degree. In this workshop, which you can use the links below to get it, and I'm going to give a caveat on this workshop, so maybe you should listen to that before you go go claim it. But we are met by psychiatrist Dr. Christy Lamb, and she really goes through the relationship between sleep and anxiety. And we'll talk in a little bit about which came first, sleep or anxiety. Sometimes people's sleep impacts their anxiety, and sometimes people's anxiety impacts their sleep. My caveat to the workshop is that it is work. This is not just a lecture. It is not just a podcast where you listen and then that's the end of it. There are actionable exercises and therapeutic techniques that Dr. Lamb goes through in the workshop that you should follow along with. So if you're looking for just something to listen to, I think you'll find benefit in the workshop. But if you have the motivation to actually participate in these exercises, that is when I believe you will see incredible life-changing improvement, because you're applying all of this great insight from the incredible Dr. Christy Lamb. We'll talk about sleep hygiene and some of the things that we can all do to get better sleep. Some of them you might already know. Some of them you might not have ever heard of. But first, I want to show you an inside look into this workshop. It was hosted by one of our Med Circle team members, Mandy Ingo, and of course, Dr. Christy Lamb. So let's go to that workshop, please.
Can maybe think of sleep as this thing that just should just happen. And ideally, maybe it would if we had low stress and our environment were cool and dark and we had, and no external stressors and no sirens going off in the street or kids screaming or waking up in the middle of the night. And so I think that there is an approach to sleep that we have to take on that says this isn't, the idea isn't if everything in my life is perfect, I should just be able to fall asleep. It's actually, can I engage with myself so that I am putting myself in the best possible position to calm my body? And that there are techniques and things that we can do to really facilitate that, but it takes work. It takes some effort. And yes, there are sleep medications that can be helpful in the short term, but long term, they can become addictive and they can become less effective. And so really learning kind of the hard, effortful way of really acknowledging, being able to notice when those rabbit holes start to pop up and choosing not to engage in them, choosing to come back to our bodies and really regulate our anxiety can be hugely helpful, but it's not an easy task. And I want to be really clear that, right, this is not about if I just get rid of these things, the sleep will just magically come. It is a process and it is something that takes time and effort. But we're going to learn some skills today to hopefully help that. And it becomes just like learning meditation. It becomes something that you can do every night to just start to practice calming your body and remembering what it takes to fall asleep. What are the ingredients to fall asleep? And avoiding those things that are going to be counterproductive to sleep. So those are going to be engaging in those worried thoughts, engaging with what we'll call the bully thoughts that come in to attack us because we're not sleeping or because we're anxious. And then, you know, the basic things like cell phones and basic sleep hygiene of when was my last meal and figuring out does eating late cause me more problems falling asleep? Does watching TV later in the night cause problems? Am I somebody who, when I exercise in the morning, I can sleep better? Or if I work out in the evening, does that help me sleep better? Does it activate me too much? And so there is really starting to get to know your nervous system. And I think that that's hopefully a thread that I'm always trying to talk about, that so often when we're thinking about anxiety and mental health at large, many of us have operated kind of trying to be like, I know that's there, but I'm just going to try and push it away and just push through. And I don't really want to look at it because it makes me anxious to look. But that we really can't engage with ourselves, change things, really get to know ourselves unless we start to get curious and to be willing to look. What works for me? What doesn't work for me? Oh, I had some caffeine. So how is that going to affect me? That I can understand. I think when we have this data set that we can also look to because we understand how different things affect our bodies, we're less stigmatizing of ourselves of like, I'm just somebody who can't sleep. I'm just, when it's clear, like, oh no, I had that cup of coffee this morning. Yep, that's going to make, okay, I'm going to have to rest a little bit more. I might have to engage a little bit longer in a sleep story or in a physiological regulation. Getting to know ourselves means that we can soothe ourselves, that we can calm ourselves. And I think this is the key piece in mental health across the board is taking the time. And I think MedCircle does such an incredible job of helping people better understand themselves so that they can take ownership and engage in activities that are going to help them feel better.
Don't you love Dr. Kristy Lamb? Ah, her insight on anxiety is truly life-changing. And if you've not heard her talk about the triangle of conflict, you need to. She goes into it in this workshop. If you're just joining us, you can access that workshop absolutely for free between now and October 31st. And look, if you access the workshop now, you can watch it whenever you want. Just we close it down at the end of the month. So let me look. 208 people already, we've only been live for a little bit, have already gone and accessed that workshop. How fantastic. Thank you for those few hundred already there. And I also want to say thank you to the 28 people who hit that little thumbs up button. Not only do you support me and you support the MedCircle channel, but you are also supporting credentialed mental health information and education, and you're helping this video reach more people who may need it. Dr. Lamb talked more in that workshop about the importance of being curious, because how many of us accept that sleep or poor sleep is a part of our normal life? We go to bed, we go, well, maybe I'll get a good night's sleep. Maybe I won't. You wake up tired and you go, well, of course I'm tired because it's the morning and this is the time of the day that I'm tired. At 3 o'clock, you go, I wish I could have a nap, but I couldn't. I'll just power through. Maybe you have extra caffeine. And we accept that this torturous existence, and you could call it torturous, Dr. Lamb does, sleep deprivation specifically, she called out as being torturous. Or we could get curious and see why is it that we can't nail this part down? And one reason is just a lack of education or a lack of knowledge. By now, you've probably heard of the term sleep hygiene. It was first introduced to me by psychiatrist Dr. Judith Joseph when we filmed a series on sleep and anxiety out in New York. And she said sleep hygiene. And I said, wait, what is that? But essentially, sleep hygiene are the things that we do to prepare for and move the odds in our favor for a better night of sleep. Some of these are pretty obvious. Yeah, don't have caffeine close to bedtime, you know, like that. Try to avoid major sugar close to bedtime. Try to avoid that. But some of them might not be as obvious, or they might even be harder to break. One big one is getting off your phone. We've all heard that blue light can keep us awake. It jolts us into thinking, hey, there's light out, so we must be awake, when we should be, you know, getting rested and mellowing down for bed. I probably 2 years ago turned my room into a sleep sanctuary. I made the entire purpose of that room for one thing only, and that is sleep. There are no electronics in my room. There is a bed and a nightstand. That is it. There's no art. There's just blank walls. There is a blackout curtain, so it is pitch, pitch black. And then I make that room super, super cold. It really, and I got great pillows, great mattress, and great sheets. I upgraded everything. And that really provides great sleep. Now, I use an Oura Ring. Dr. Lam, you'll see, is wearing one as well in the workshop. And I can derive some data for this, and I'm only bringing the Oura Ring up to let you know. You don't even need to get the Oura Ring. I'm telling you, the sleep hygiene stuff works. The days that I follow the sleep hygiene regimen and routines that Dr. Lam outlines in this workshop are the days I get better sleep, as proof by the report I get every morning from wearing this ring. So all of these things do work. But you have to come from a place of curiosity and a willingness to try some things. You know, if you are scrolling through Instagram every night before bed, have you really tried stopping doing that? And if you tried, did you just scroll less, or did you try for one night? Try it for a week and see what happens. Personally, the biggest thing for me that's made a difference is a consistent bed time. Remember when we were kids and your parents made you go to bed at a certain time? Maybe they did. Mine did. I hated that. Ugh. I was like, why are you telling me what to do with my life? But they were right. Going to bed at a certain time, even on the weekends, for me, it's a game changer. Doesn't mean that I don't have bad nights of sleep. It doesn't mean that sometimes I'm tired. But more often than not, I'm getting high quality sleep. And I'm getting, I feel very rested when I wake up in the morning. There are two exercises that I'll explain briefly. The first one is called Three Themes, and the second one is called An Internal Bully Script. Now, I could go into the description of these, but I'd rather have a doctor do it. And Dr. Lam does a great job not only explaining what these are, but helping you run through these exercises. So if you have not gone and accessed that workshop, do so right now. Okay, I'm giving you permission to leave this video, click that button in the chat or click the link in the description, and go access this workshop on sleep and anxiety. I know for a fact, no matter who you are watching this, this is relevant to you because you sleep. Maybe our workshop on inner child doesn't like get you too excited. Or maybe you aren't even close to burnout at your job. So our workshop on burnout, no big deal. But you sleep. And even if you sleep great now, wouldn't you want to sleep even better? Or perhaps you're living in a family. Think of the benefits that would happen if everyone in your family got better sleep. If in the morning when people traipse down the stairs and into the kitchen, they had gotten a great full night of sleep. And these are things you can implement, you can get educated on, you can do them today and experience those benefits. It's pretty incredible. Dr. Christy Lam, an esteemed psychiatrist out of Southern California, she conducts the entire workshop and walks you through these actual exercises, the three themes and the internal bully script. Very powerful stuff. We're going to leave you with a clip from this workshop. So go get the workshop and then come watch this clip, or just go watch the whole workshop yourself. But I wanted to end this by saying thank you to everybody who has supported us during this World Mental Health Month. Whether you've watched a video, shared a video with a friend, given a video a thumbs up, or left a comment, I want to thank you. If you have access one of our free complimentary workshops, I want to thank you. And if you've become a MedCircle member, we have an entire membership offering outside of YouTube. If you go to medcircle.com, you can learn all about it. But we have a very affordable starter membership. It's under $5 a month. You get access to 900 videos. You have access to all of our apps, all of our streaming services. Or if you want to access all of that plus, be able to attend live workshops where you can ask questions to the exact doctors that you're seeing on YouTube and in our video series, like Dr. Christy Lamb, you can become an all access member. And back to the workshop on sleep. If you go get the workshop on sleep right now, you'll also get a little gift from me. So there's a lot of reasons to do this. And if you're sitting there going, man, he really wants us to go get this workshop. You're right. Hello. Can I make it any more blatantly clear? It's a great, great workshop. Don't let sleep be the thing that's holding you back and keeping you down. Let sleep be the thing that gives you the power to handle your depression, to handle a stressful day, to handle all of your interpersonal relationships. Leverage sleep, utilize sleep. Look forward to having that superpower on your side, the superpower of sleep. That's my dad calling me, you guys. I'm going to go take that phone call. Thank you. I'm Kyle Kittleson. Remember, whatever you're going through, you got this.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about a very imperative issue that many of us may struggle with or have struggled with or may struggle with, and that is lack of sleep, and specifically how it's intertwined with anxiety. Sleep, obviously, we know, we hear all the time, is so essential, and we're going to dive in a little bit more in detail as to how essential it actually is for the body and for cognitive functioning and just day-to-day living. There may be reasons why we don't get sleep. It could be a chronic illness. We may be experiencing grief or loss, or maybe we're a new parent and have a newborn that's keeping us up at night. There are many reasons why we can lack sleep. And today we're going to be joined by Dr. Lamb, and she is going to take us through the journey of sleep. So we're going to learn some cool techniques, and we're going to kind of really dive into this weave between sleep and anxiety and how maybe they play off of each other or, can limit one or benefit the other. So Dr. Lamb, welcome. It's great to see you.
Good to see you as well. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. I'm sure we're all excited to hear about this today. So from your neuropsychological and physiological perspective, can you explain the relationship between sleep and anxiety?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, I often joke that insomnia spelt backwards is anxiety. and it's not, but right. That so often when we're talking about sleep problems, sleep disruption and insomnia, that anxiety plays such an enormous role in this. Now, there are physiological conditions where people are going to have a high propensity for problems with sleep. So kind of getting those out of the way to start with, things like sleep apnea, where people may have difficulty breathing when they lay supine. And so they are then sometimes their tongue can fall back and it can cause snoring and decrease respiratory drive for some people with central apnea that can result in people having really poor sleep and being tired and waking up a lot during the night. There are things like benign prosthetic hypertrophy, which is where the prostate enlarges and men who are older have to go to the bathroom more often at night, that can get people up in the middle of the night and have them not sleeping as well. High blood pressure, diabetes, those kind of things can have some manifestations that can have us getting up a little bit more frequently at night. Like you mentioned, having a child, whether that's a newborn or in my case, a five-year-old who comes in and wakes us up in the middle of the night. So there are a lot of external factors that can play a role in our sleep. And so I think that it's important to acknowledge those and make sure that we're doing everything that we can to mitigate those factors. So if I have sleep apnea, am I using a CPAP machine, seeing my physician, exercising, trying to lose weight for if my body habitus is kind of getting in the way, am I getting all of those things managed the best that I can? And then potentially doing some sleep training with our children and educating them on sleep hygiene so that those external factors can get minimized. What we're really talking about today, though, is the role of anxiety in sleep. And so for many of the patients that I see, insomnia is directly correlated to an anxious brain at night. So often what happens is that during the day, we're distracted, we're doing all these different things. And then when we lay down in the quiet of the night, our brains can start to go on overdrive. And we're gonna talk today in the exercises that we do about two different ways that that can kind of happen. One is that overactive brain. And then the other one is almost a self-attacking brain once we notice that we're a little bit anxious at night. So we're gonna look at some concrete ways to navigate that today. But it is so often that as we start to slow down and start to calm, that our brains, we're kind of stuck with ourselves. And if we aren't comfortable in our own skin, if we aren't comfortable with our thoughts coming up, or if we've got a lot on our plate, it can be hard to calm our body. But it's so important for us to remember that anxiety is a physiological experience in our bodies. And so when we can pull away from thoughts and really engage with our bodies in regard to how to calm ourselves physiologically, we're going to be at a huge advantage in order to help get back to sleep should we wake up with some anxiety.